Once again, our first reading today will be part one of two. Andy and I will be reading from the Gospel of John. I will be reading chapter 20, 19 through 25, and he will conclude with the remainder of it. Hear now this reading. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
As Kathy said, our next scripture reading is a continuation of the first one. I will continue to read in the 20th chapter of John. So please listen to these words with new ears as we hear a familiar story and seek God's word for us in it. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. One day, many years ago, when I was in seminary, I was walking with a friend across the campus quadrangle at Columbia Theological Seminary, and we saw a strange thing on the sidewalk up ahead of us. A hard case briefcase. This was before the time when everybody had backpacks. People actually carried briefcases. And there on the sidewalk ahead of us was a briefcase. Right in the middle of the sidewalk, standing with the handle up, as if its owner had set it down and just disappeared. Well, once my friend and I were beside this briefcase, we stopped and looked down at the case, and then we looked at each other, and we knew what the other was thinking. Did we miss something? Had we been left behind? Now, little did we know that in entertaining this thought, we were innocently and ignorantly expressing one of the most misunderstood aspects of the biblical story of Jesus, which most of us refer to as the second coming of Jesus somewhere in the future. And this will be our sermon topic and theme for the weeks of Easter: exploring Jesus' second comings. I punched that S for us because a strange, as interesting, strange thing about reading the Bible is that when we actually do so, when we actually read the Bible that Jeff was talking about giving to Lee, instead of relying on what others tell us about the Bible, we often begin to question some of the widely held beliefs within Christianity. And one of these beliefs for me is this whole idea of the second coming of Christ to occur somewhere in the future. Now, one need only read the gospel accounts of Jesus' resurrection and post-resurrection appearances to realize three things. It's very clear when we read these stories. First, before Jesus is crucified, he promises his disciples that he will come again. Second, within 3 days of his death, he does just that. And third, there are numerous accounts of these appearances occurring over a period of time that extends all the way to Paul on the road to Damascus and beyond. Now, you see the dilemma, don't you? If there is to be a second coming at an unknown time somewhere in the future, then what do we do with all of these subsequent appearances or comings of Jesus that are right there in the biblical story? One that we heard last week, and two more which we hear this morning. In the readings from John we have this morning, please note that each one of them begins with, the first begins with, when it was evening on that day. The second one begins with, a week later. Earlier in John's story, Jesus has already appeared to Mary at the tomb, albeit disguised as a gardener. In Luke, as we read last week, later that afternoon, Jesus appeared in the form of a fellow traveler to Cleopas and his companion on the way to Emmaus. So if we are counting, today's readings comprise the third and fourth comings of Jesus. And this is just the beginning of Jesus coming and going in various shapes and forms, known and unknown. So this morning, let's briefly tie together our first two observations: that Jesus promises to come again and that he does just that. And to do this, I want us to look back to Maundy Thursday. On Monday, Thursday, we heard these words from the 14th chapter of John. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees the Spirit nor knows the Spirit. You know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides in you, and the Spirit will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." And then 3 days later, after Jesus' execution and burial, what happens? We heard it just a few minutes ago. Jesus came and stood among them. And what did he say? "Peace be with you." But Thomas, who was not there, but was told about Jesus' visit, does not believe all of this. And again, we should not be surprised by this, because it was Thomas who asked on Monday, Thursday, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" To which Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And a week later, when Thomas finally sees Jesus as he has requested, he puts his finger in the mark of the nails and his hand in Jesus' side, and he believes. And Jesus replies, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Thank God for Thomas. His questions, these two questions of Thomas, elicit two of Jesus' most profound statements about who he is and how that affects us. And in the coming weeks, and in the same way, our questions about the second coming will elicit a different understanding of just how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and how we go about believing and living it. So over these weeks of Easter, we will explore the comings of Jesus. And we will explore some of the reasons why we have been taught and believe that Jesus hasn't come yet. So stay tuned. There is more to come. Amen. My friends, I've spent a lot of time in recent years, if not more, taking a look at not only our Christian faith, but other faiths of other people. And surprisingly to me, I have discovered that in learning about other faiths, it has enriched my Christian faith even more, as I have discovered all of the many, many things that we believe and do that are the same. There's so many ways. But there are also ways that we are unique. And I've heard the ways that Christianity may be unique. But I want to share with you that I think what really makes followers of Christ unique among other religions is presence. Jesus comes to us telling us that God is with us. God is not off somewhere else. God is with us. And this, I think, is what makes the Christian faith unique. With us in Jesus Christ. So let us go from here today knowing that we're not waiting on Jesus to come. Jesus is already here, my friends, within each and every one of us. And this is our challenge, that our lives reflect this. So this Easter season, as we explore the coming of Jesus to us, let us know that it will be a challenging journey, because if we do indeed believe, our lives will be changed. Amen.